Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. Western elites endlessly declare they are virtuous because of their so-called values. The assault on the Palestinians destroys the myth of their virtue and reveals they have no values at all. You know this is the case when they say, I believe in free speech, but... Crosstalking Palestine, I'm joined by my guest Lionel in New York. He is a legal and media analyst. In Kitchener, we have Robert Fatina. He is a journalist as well as author of Settler Colonialism in Palestine and Kashmir. And in Tehran, we cross to Mohammed Morandi. He's a professor at the University of Tehran. All right, gentlemen, Crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. Lionel, let me go to you first here. You're our resident in the fishbowl, so your opinion is very valuable to us. The U.S. House passed a bill that would conflate criticism of Israel with anti-Semitism. I thought when you became a member of Congress, you took an oath to the Constitution, or am I getting something wrong?
This is the Constitution of the United States, and I hold it up, and people say, there you go again. Peter, I don't even know how to tell you this. This week, I'm finding myself aligning with people that I swore I would never agree with as of the time of day. Jerry Nadler, who was my congressperson, who is devoid of any even scintilla of reality, is a Jewish member, is saying anti-Semitism is a prohibitions against the ideation of anti-Semitism is against the notion of free speech. It's unconstitutional. I just heard, you're not going to believe this, from the NYPD police counterintelligence unit, a woman say that she's concerned about ideas being discussed on campuses that deal with terrorism. And get this, people wearing scarves, headbands associated with terrorism. I'm thinking, is this a keffiyeh? I'm thinking, what is happening? One minute we have the NYPD arresting no one for anything. Now we're talking about ideation, thought. And it's, and one last thing, it's not the thought police I worry about. It's the thought vigilantes. Because if you watch Fox News, oh my God, I'm thinking, what country am I living
well,
in?
Well, exactly. Mohammed in Tehran, again, you know, there were the rules-based order they like to echo. But look what they did to the students at the University of California, Los Angeles. They allowed vigilantes to come in and clear those students using extreme force. And from what I understand, the police were either not there or they just watched. Professor.
You know, what is amazing is that the United States and its Western allies, they don't seem to recognize that the world has changed. People see what's going on in New York, on campus at Columbia University. They see what's going on in UCLA, while people in the United States in the East Coast may be asleep. People in Asia are watching the vigilantes crush the protesters. So the United States and the Europeans, not only are they violating all of the principles that they pretend to support, and not only is this rule-based order very different from what we were told it was supposed to be, but the United States and the Europeans are destroying their own soft power. They've already destroyed it, but they're making sure that nothing's left.
Well, it's really interesting, Robert, as we were captivated, rightfully so, what was going on with these anti-war, anti-genocide, it's called them what they should be called, okay, protests. We had the slaughter continue in Gaza. So it's very interesting, we said, all we see is the use of force without any legitimate backing to it whatsoever. What Israel is doing is genocidal, and what the police are doing in the United States are breaking the law on so many different levels. And then you have the Prime Minister of Israel coordinating, it seems like, officialdom in the United States to what to do about crushing dissent against his country and his regime. You can't get it. You can't make this stuff up, Robert.
No, you can't. And it's kind of shocking to think that in the year 2024, people are arrested for opposing genocide. And this idea of the anti-Israel, protests against Israel being anti-Semitic, this is and has for a long time, because even before it's currently being codified in law, professors are afraid to talk about it in their class. If they're talking about colonialism, maybe they're talking about Canadian colonialism, certainly, or colonialism in the United States. And if they ask their students, can you give us an example of colonialism? If they say, yes, Israel and Palestine, they can get in trouble for that. Yeah. It makes students feel uncomfortable. Well, if you're in a university, you're going to be uncomfortable sometimes. That just comes with the territory, because you're going to be learning different things and being exposed to different ideas. So being uncomfortable is not criminal. Then, as you mentioned, Benjamin Netanyahu telling the United States that they have to squash these or crush these protests. Who is the leader of any other country, let alone one that's been declared an apartheid regime by several very respectable human rights organizations, to tell the United States how to deal with campus protests? This is bizarre. This is unreal. It's like we fall down some rabbit hole somewhere.
Yeah, and we haven't learned any of the important lessons of the last 75 years, last 100 years, when it comes to international relations. We have the genocide conventions because a genocide was committed. Lionel, you're a lawyer here. Attorneys inside the Biden administration urged the U.S. to cut off Israel. Also, a group of 90 lawyers, including 20 within the administration, say Israel's actions do not comply with U.S. and international law. I mean, these are lawyers within the administration. Okay, they shouldn't be shocked by people demonstrating against us. Their own lawyers know it's wrong. Lionel.
I don't even know where to start with this. Let me just throw a couple of things out here. The same people, gentlemen, who and I was one of them, who said, why are you arresting J6 protesters? Many of these people were just standing there. They were a part of a Washington tour. Or they said, hey, what's all this noise? Next thing you know, they're corralled and thrown into an underground gulag for God knows how long. And they argued against this. We have Jill Stein,
yep,
who is in the dictionary next to meek and passive and not harmless intellectually, but just the nicest. She's just standing there being clobbered by the police, and they say, well, she shouldn't have been there. Then, this is the best part, the media will focus on these lunatics who come forward. There was a woman who stood before a self-appointed spokesperson, an expert in media relations, complaining about the fact that her food service card had been discontinued and that they can't get certain bottled water when they're, get this, protesting against horrid, horrific starvation in Gaza. And this woman's arguing about she didn't get the right fluoridated water. I mean, this is a... It is insane. And there's also concomitantly peaceful, brilliant discussions never discussed, never mentioned by anybody in mainstream media. Constructive Jews and Palestinians talking without any problems. Nobody talks about that.
Yeah, Mohammed, the interesting thing is that it seems to me that again, these protests need to be covered. We're discussing them right now. But there is an offensive being organized against Rafah. And I think with this passage of this legislation, the Senate will go along with it. You know, of course, this is just pro forma. But they want to shut down any discussion and debate when that invasion starts. I feel it in my bones. Go ahead, Mohammed.
But what are they going to do when it does start, and when the genocide intensifies, when the daily footage that we see on our cell phones gets worse, and when the Israeli regime will also fail on the ground, as it has already failed in Gaza City in the north and elsewhere. What will happen in the United States? Will these students and other students remain quiet, or will the anger and discontent grow? And regardless of what happens in the United States, what will the rest of the world do? What will the people in the global south do? What will ordinary people in Europe do? How will they respond to this when they see, on the one hand, the United States is crushing dissent, when it's sending thugs to UCLA to beat and batter these students who, as your guest rightly pointed out, were just protesting genocide? They're not doing anything, but they're not even protesting against the U.S. regime. They're protesting about what another regime is doing to wipe out the Palestinian people. So what is going to happen when the attack on Rafah begins? It's only going to make things worse for Washington. It's going to make things worse for London and France. What do people in the global south think when they look at China and the United States? Do they see freedom versus authoritarianism? When they look at Iran or Moscow, Tehran or Moscow, do they see the United States as free and Tehran and Moscow as authoritarian? They don't see it that way anymore. Why? Because the capability of the Western media to enforce this narrative across the world has collapsed. Right now, when I speak, I recently had an interview with Piers Morgan, and the reaction was hostile towards him, not towards me, because people are seeing through this narrative. So the United States is demolishing its empire. It's already been doing so. But this is, I think, the last stage.
It's very interesting, Muhammad, that you bring up Piers Morgan, because he had on Professor Mearsheimer, and I've never seen in my life a host embarrass himself by his own stupidity. And he doubled down, and he tripled down, and it was just amazing that he even put it on YouTube, that he was so humiliated. But that's what happens when you support the powers that be, and you don't interrogate truth. Okay. I think that's a foreshadowing what we're going to see more of. Gentlemen, I have to jump in here, and we're going to go to a short break. And after that short break, we'll continue our discussion on Palestine. Stay with RT.
We need to counter the Russian state control narrative.
Als Teil der Sanktionen gegen Russland gehen die westlichen Länder gegen russische Auslandssender vor.
Mais écoutez, monsieur, c'est pas à vous de décider de qui est journaliste ou pas dans ce pays. On est en France, quoi. C'est pas possible.
We will ban in the European Union the Kremlin's media machine. The state-owned Russia Today and Sputnik.
RT, Sputnik, even our video agency, roughly all banned on YouTube.
Et merci à vous tous pour votre fidélité et votre soutien.
In 1941, with the Nazis' help, Croatian ultranationalists, the Ustashas, proclaimed the independent state of Croatia. Shortly after seizing power, they built the Jasenovac concentration camp, a place associated with the worst atrocities committed in Yugoslavia during World War II. The Ustashas used the camp system to isolate and exterminate Serbs, Roma, Jews, and other non-Catholic minorities and political opponents of their fascist regime. Conditions in the Jasenovac camp were horrendous. The guards tortured, terrorized, and murdered prisoners.
They sent them in concentration camps. So most of them died. It was incredible genocide.
Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. To remind you, we're discussing Palestine. All right, let's go to Robert here. Robert, it's very interesting. Anytime it comes to Israel, it's always an exception. It's different. It's a special case, etc. But actually, if you look at what's going on, Netanyahu's campaign against obviously the people of Gaza, but also targeting Hamas. This is just another example of a forced regime change that started in the former Yugoslavia and went all through the Middle East, and now they're trying to do it in Gaza. But Robert, I'd like to point out, it never works. It never works out the way you expect it to, and they're trying it again. These people have no learning curve, and Professor Morandi is absolutely right. Their soft power abilities are dissipating, or it's gone. Go ahead, Robert.
Yes, it never works because the United States and other Western governments forget that people in different countries have loyalty to their countries. They have a way that they want their governments to run. They don't want to be forced into some kind of form of government that is not to their liking. One example going back a while is Iran, where the United States in 1953, I believe it was, overthrew the government of Iran and installed the brutal Shah. And he ruled for nearly 30 years, I believe it was, until the people of Iran were able to overthrow him and install a government to their liking. Now, any government has problems. Any government has issues. There are going to be some people that disagree with certain government policies. Doesn't mean they want to overthrow the government, and it certainly doesn't mean that they want government forced by the United States to be installed in their nation. And when we talk about the forthcoming Rafah invasion, which is going to be just so brutal and so bloody, and how this new law repressing dissent is going to play out in it, people who are protesting know that if they're following all the rules that the government sets for their protest, the protest is worthless. It's an exercise in futility. So if in the university campuses, they have to give 2 days' notice that they're going to have a protest, they have to be in one certain area and stay there, well, they know that's a waste of time. They might just well not bother. So they're going to take action that is going to get them publicity and get them attention.
Well, Robert, I agree with you. I mean, if the authorities aren't going to play by the rules, then why should the students? See, this is what we're descending into the abyss right now here. Mm-hmm. Lionel, you know, you love words. You know, again, this whole phrase, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. Well, who has the right to determine what that means? Because when I say it, when I think about it, I think about everyone being free, Palestinians, Jews, secular people, all people being equal from the river to the sea. But I can get in a lot of trouble. I probably have already gotten myself into trouble by saying that. But I will not allow someone to tell me what my words mean. Go ahead, Lionel.
Well, you know, a couple of things, too. You talk about great words. I go back to the words of our Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan, who brought up Floxi Nosnihili pilification one time, which is the action of estimating as worthless, which is what I feel I'm doing when I'm trying to explain to people what's going on, at least here. Let me give you an example. There was a senator who said, because there was a talk of Biden bringing folks over from Gaza to the United States, oh, no, we can't do that. Wait a minute, why? Well, because they're Hamas supporters and their ideology. And I asked somebody, I said, you know, you're right about that, because if there's one thing we got to get to the bottom of, it's all the fentanyl cartels in Gaza. And he goes, what are you talking about? It's like, do you know who we're letting in right now? Next, they talk about ideology. I said, why wasn't anybody interested in the Azov battalion and right sector and neo-Nazis in Ukraine? So just stick with your program. I'll go along with you, but you can't change the rules in midstream and then expect to. And by the way, and I sound like the most unpatriotic, only in America could you pull this off, where you could say the most blatantly ludicrous, hypocritical nonsense, and nobody will call you out, because we don't know. Because remember, in here, Hamas, Gaza, Israel, it's this gumbo of terms that's been mixed around.
Lionel, it's liberalism, okay, and it's toxic, and it can kill you, and it certainly kills a lot of people around the world. Mohammed, one of the interesting things for me is that, you know, when they mention in the media, when they talk about Israel, well, let's be more specific. This is a Zionist regime. It is run by a Zionist ideology and people that adhere to it, okay? And what we have is the Zionization of the West, okay, willingly allowing themselves to be colonized by these ideas.
Yes, and it is destroying the West. But what is happening now is because of the sheer brutality of the Israeli regime, people are waking up to this fact. The reason why they're passing this law is because they're desperate. And I think it shows how the Israelis and the Zionist lobby, which, by the way, is they're more Christian Zionists, as we all know, than Jewish Zionists, and there are many Zionists who are secular. So this has nothing to do with Judaism. Many Jews are completely against this genocide in the Israeli regime, and the same is true with Christians and others. But the Israeli regime doesn't care about the United States. It doesn't care at all. Yep. It is willing to sacrifice the credibility and the image of the United States for its own sake. The Israeli prime minister says, crush dissent, and they crush dissent. The Israeli regime calls on the United States to silence these young people, and these people will be silenced. What does that have? As I said earlier, it destroys the United States image abroad, but it also destroys the image of the United States for the younger generation, young Americans who were taught to believe that this was the land of the free and the home of the brave. Now they're waking up to a reality which is almost exact opposite of what they were told through their
because
books.
They realize that they are brave, but they're governed by cowards. That's what they are, cowards, okay? It's interesting, Robert, up until October 7th, as if that should be the center of everything, it was an important day, but there's a long history before. But before October 7th, at least for the Western world, particularly Americans that are intentionally uneducated about this, is that, remember the phrase, it's complicated. That was always the default. It's been going on a long time. It's complicated. That's no longer the case. People are being educated. They're educating themselves. It is easy to do that. And this is what the elites are afraid of. They're afraid of the truth.
Yes, they are. The idea that this is complicated is just a myth. It's been a myth perpetuated by U.S. government officials and the very obedient media for decades. It isn't complicated at all. It involves international law and basic human rights, laws and rights that are enshrined in the United Nations that the United States has signed on to, and the United States is violating them. The United States is violating its own laws, the Leahy Law, for example, which says that military aid cannot be given to a country that doesn't reach a certain minimal standard of human rights adherence. Israel comes nowhere near close to that. There are other domestic laws that it violates. There's nothing complicated about this. This is not a religious issue. It is not Jews versus Muslims at all. It is an issue of colonialism, of one very dominant nation repressing a nation with no army, navy, no military whatsoever, and that dominant nation is supported by the most powerful nation on the planet. There's nothing equal about the conflict. It's not a war. It's simply a genocide. It's been a slow-going genocide for decades, as Israel has attempted with some success to erase Palestine by stealing land, displacing Palestinians, and killing many thousands of them over the decades. So there's nothing complicated about this, and that narrative is finally being switched and being recognized for what it is, which is just a major lie, and it's not holding water anymore.
You know, Lionel, one of the big problems about controlling this narrative of what's going on in Gaza and the right to protest is that there's a lot of American Jews involved in these protests here, and they just have a hard time explaining that away. Lionel.
Oh, absolutely. And again, many people believe that there's this monolithic organizational, yeah, that you become a member of the club, and this is your articles of faith. I got to tell you this one. This is the best part about this. You talk about people that I'm listening to. I thought it was hallucinating. I'm listening to Michael Moore the other night. I'm thinking, oh, my God, he makes sense. Let me tell you what's going to happen. In about 6 months, there's going to be the election. And Donald Trump's going to win this thing. And if he ever thanks anybody, he'll say, I want to thank Joe Biden. I want to thank this ridiculousness. Because, gentlemen, what's happening right now is people, especially in New York, are seeing, hey, that's what the police look like, irrespective of what they're doing, whether right or wrong. But people are saying, you know, we have been so bereft of this notion of law and order. And Gavin Newsom in California, the governor, who was supposedly up till just recently going to be the last, and it could be the replacement candidate, California is tumbling into the sea, as Steely Dan would intone. It is a catastrophe. And people are now saying, what does this sound like, Peter? We always go back to our childhood. 1968, order, law and order, Nixon, Chicago. Look at what people are doing. You idiots, you social justice fools.
Lionel, I wish I could be that optimistic. I'm going to finish up the program with Muhammad here, is that we have this uniparty here. We have Republicans and we have Democrats here. And they're all on the wrong, these leaders are on the wrong side of history. And I think that's, there's a, it'll be a societal clash against the elites. You got 1 minute. Go ahead.
I think that's a really important point. I think both of you are correct in the sense that Trump will probably be elected, but I think increasingly people across the board are going to see that Trump will be no different than Biden. And that is going to create even further disillusionment among Americans. They will see increasingly that the United States is not a democracy. It's one a despotic regime with two factions which agree on almost everything. Exactly.
Well, unfortunately, you know, this, if it's, the election is going to be determined by donors, and it probably will be, we're going to find ourselves exactly in the same dreadful place. Gentlemen, that's all the time we have. I want to thank my guests in Kitchener, New York, and in Tehran. And of course, I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. Remember, cross that rules.